Proverbs. I know you think pastors have nothing else other to do all week than to scour this book for any obscure little phrase and bring it up as though there's this great new revelation of God has shown me. And you're all going, I've never heard that. Is that in there? Are you sure? This one is in there. It's from Proverbs chapter 1. And I am pulling it out to put as a banner over what we're going to say about Pilate today. In Proverbs chapter 1, the way of wisdom, the book of wisdom, Solomon is saying to young men, he said, when other people come to you and say, let's join in together, let's go hurt innocent people, we'll surprise them, we'll rob them, and we'll share all the loot. This is what the voice of wisdom says about that. He says, you know, it's useless to spread a net where any bird can see it. But they, those people who do things like that, set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of a dumb thing to do, but we do it all the time. We set ourselves up in such a way that we think we're so clever and we're so cool and we're going to handle whatever comes to us in life. But the truth of the matter is, when we are not walking in the ways of the Lord, we're really just setting up an ambush for ourselves. Pontius Pilate did that. He yielded to the title of the message today. I've called it Loud Voices. It said in that passage twice that loud voices are what tripped up the character of this guy. So let me ask you a question. Have you been yelled at lately? Who's yelling at you in your life right now? Go to the next slide if you would. Here's just a few examples. Your social media feed is yelling at you. There are a lot of people who click on like when they may not really like it, or who affirm something they may not really affirm, or it's telling you what you ought to think about a topic, and it's just saying, oh my goodness, that may not be the way I feel about it, but look at how many likes it has. Look at how many influencers have already decided that this is so important for me. Your social media feed is getting you. If you are 65 years old, your mailbox is yelling at you right now about Medicare supplements. Now, most of us in this room, we probably relate to that one a little more than the social media feed, but we're all here now. And you know what? Someday the mailbox is going to go away, and it'll only be on your phone. But everyone is telling you how to live and why you need that product, and there's something wrong with you if you don't want to do that. What they say, political correctness, same vein, just a different word. I remember watching a football practice one time. It was the most amazing thing that ever happened. The football player messed up, and the coach came and got directly in. There were two heads in one helmet. And all the sound was going into the helmet where the player was having the echo effect of the corrective, motivational discussion that was going on the sideline there, okay? I remember a young student came up to our church one day, and I said, hey, I thought you had to work on Sundays. And he said, I quit. I said, why did you quit? My boss yelled at me. Well, some of us react to that because, you know what? To be yelled at and still get a paycheck is sometimes a pretty good thing. But it wasn't to him. He was so worried that somebody had felt that he needed correction that he just quit the whole job rather than face the need that he had to change. Our body yells at us sometimes. That's called pain. And our emotions yell at us many times. So we see Pontius Pilate getting yelled at. And we see this man cave in the things that matter most. And it says two things. It says, with many loud voices, they were demanding what he do with Jesus. And then in the King James, it's in my head anyway, it says, And loud voices prevailed. Loud voices, I think Christian Standard says they won, or they were there. So Pontius Pilate, he was a very capable man. He was a rising star, probably in the Roman Empire. His assignment in Palestine was a challenge, but it was a stepping stone to bigger and better things. And yet, in his encounter with Jesus, and if you compare what Luke tells us to what John describes, the interaction that they had in private, what an interesting character study, what an interesting microcosm of what is going on in Pilate's heart and soul. But while he was with Jesus, it is the flaws in his character were revealed so that politically, career-wise, he never rose any higher than where he was. He was recalled to Rome. His career took a downward turn. And while nobody knows for sure, it has been said, or tradition says, that he died by suicide. And if that is true, read again Proverbs 1:18 and put the word Pilate in there for the word they. Pilate set an ambush to kill himself. Pilate attacked his own life. Gilmore's Law of Typing. You never see the typo until it's on the screen. So, all right, a few things I want to say to you. I want to talk first of all about what voices did he hear. I think that a lot of us ruin our character. We defeat our own spiritual lives because we're hearing voices. Now, it doesn't mean we're psychotic. It doesn't mean we're demon-possessed, but it does mean that we often listen to the wrong things. So let me just list a few of the voices that he heard. First of all, he heard the voice of reason. In verses 14 to 16 there, anyway, in the text, no less than three times, Pilate says, I've examined this guy. I don't see a problem here. Three different times. I always had trouble with math. True confessions. I have yelled at a math problem. Not because I understood and could figure it out, but because I couldn't. Moral math is like that. What is the right thing? What does the law say? What is the charge against this defendant? Does what his conduct has been, does it merit a violation of the law and the punishment that these people are asking me? Three times he said, it doesn't add up. He was trying to listen to the voice of reason. There was also the voice of expectation. Hey, don't you know, Pilate, if you want to get along, if you want your career to go good, you know, we had the army phrase in school, participate and graduate. Don't you want a better assignment? Well, then you need to release at the Passover any of the wicked people that we choose as a gesture of goodwill. Rome needs to, like, let one go. The voice of expectation. And Pilate even plays into that, and he says, hey, I'll give you a choice. You want Jesus, who hadn't done anything wrong, or do you want Barabbas? We know his name from other places here. There's the voice of conscience. Things have escalated. People are getting mad and unruly. The voices are getting louder. And yet in the text, there's this hint of conscience. It goes against his character and values to condemn an innocent man. He senses that bigger principles are involved here. You know, we always say this in military. We say issues surface in events. The issue surfaces in the event. The event might be, well, we overspent the budget in the government. I know that is so hard to believe, right? Okay. Well, it isn't just the government. It happens at the family kitchen table, too. We overspent the budget. That's the event. There's a deficit in the checkbook right now. What's the issue? I can't say no. Or I fritter away on soda pop and candy bars at Casey's rather than saving the money to go to the grocery store and buy the good food. The issue has surfaced in the event. And here is the event. Jesus stands before him. Everybody's yelling at him. They're getting louder and louder as he goes. And the real issue is, will I stand firm on my conscience? Or will I sell out this innocent man for the sake of my career? There's the voice of emotion. Mad, sad, glad, and afraid. Pilate's having a lot of emotions. There's a lot of emotions out there. When we raise our voice, it's like, you're not listening to me. We want our way. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. There's the voice of emotion where I'm in charge is turning into the fact of, oh no, and this is used several times in the New Testament, Rome isn't going to like it if things don't go well here. And then there's the voice of the crowd. Louder and louder they shout. But you know what? It isn't just about crucifying Jesus. When you're tempted to compromise your standards or violate your principles, the crowd gets real loud too. And it's really tough. I mentioned in our young adults here today, it's really tough when the peer group is shouting against what you know to be right. Come on, everybody's doing it. Just take a sip of this. Just take a swig of that. Just puff on this a little bit. It's only two pills. Are you afraid? And you know, you throw the peer pressure in there. Well, we won't really like you if you don't go with everybody else. See, give it to Mikey. Mikey will eat anything. You know, the old commercial. If one person does it, then it becomes this peer group thing. And that's exactly what Pilate faced, and that's exactly what Proverbs said. You don't realize it right then, but you're setting an ambush for your own life. How many people have regretted the first beer they ever drank? How many people have regretted the first joint they ever smoked? How many people have mourned the loss of character they had in the back seat of a car, or when someone else had a party at their home and their parents weren't there? It's not just Pilate who hears voices like this, ladies and gentlemen. It's all of us. And hey, I'm not picking on the young people. You know, our temptations are the same, but they're just different. Had a lady come to me once and she said, I work in a hospital lab. My boss has told me if I don't fudge the numbers, I will lose my job. What do you do with that? That the job is asking you to violate your conscience. If you don't go along, we won't get along. It's not any one little group who deals with this issue. We hear voices like this. But let me say, secondly, what are the consequences of listening to these voices? Let's go to the next slide, and I've listed several. First and big one, obvious one, is he sold out the Savior. Pilate let Jesus go. And it didn't matter how many times or whose kingdom it was, or when he says, you're a king, what is truth? Jesus had said, I am the truth. All of that didn't matter. He sold Jesus out unjustly. But in doing so, he sold his own soul. He acted in a way that was totally inconsistent with his own character. He scarred himself and he never recovered. Ladies and gentlemen, Pilate could wash his hands, but he could never get them really clean. And you know how it is after a while? You don't look in the mirror anymore because you know what that guy is like looking back at you. He sold his principles. So much for truth. So much for integrity. So much for justice. So much for personal credibility. He had legal authority to do what he did, but he did not have the moral authority to do what he did. And not only did he hurt himself in this particular situation, you want to know why Rome fell? is because there were character weaklings like Pilate in charge. So much for the ideals of Rome. He sold his future. Character is the key to leadership and opportunity, and honesty is the number one component of credibility. And if you can't be honest with yourself, how are you going to be honest with anybody else? He sold his future, and he didn't know it, but at that very moment, his life changed to where he would eventually lose his job, and he would eventually be called to Rome, and he would eventually, perhaps, go into obscurity for sure, but perhaps literally die by suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest decisions in our spiritual lives often boil down to one choice that we make. And either we hold true to the truth and we hold true to the character and the values that God has given us, or we choose not to do that. And I tell you what, once you start going down the wrong road, it builds momentum. It goes faster. It goes harder. And everybody looks at the news on 6 o'clock and they go, oh, what a shame. How did this horrible thing happen? You want to know how it happened? Some of it happened in the third grade on the playground. Some of it happened as a teenager on the football field. Other parts of it happened at the first job. Other parts of it said when we lied to one another at the marriage altar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a game. This is serious business. The issue was Pilate's character. The event was the fact that he listened to loud voices rather than the voice of his own heart and the still small voice of God. So what do we do? How do we respond? Let's try to be positive. I always love how, boy, about this point of the message, y'all are looking at me going like, oh man, why'd I come today? You know, no, there's good news in this. There's good news in this. How do we respond to this? Let's go to the next slide. Number one is you put these voices into perspective. Can I say what you already know? To be loud does not mean you're right. To be loud means you're loud. And when you're right, you don't got to be loud because you're right. Teddy Roosevelt, talk soft, carry a big stick, be right. My dear friend, he always said, you know what, when you're right, you don't have to shout. You just stand on what's right with confidence, knowing that God will honor the right choice. So you put it in perspective. Loud voices usually call us to other people's agendas, not our own, and they usually call us to something negative. What do they want from me? We're going to give you this quick and easy win, but we're going to sign you up and you get 8,000 emails from now on. Wow, I got my $2 off. Think about it. Matt Mars on Facebook, he's a denominational guy up in the Kansas City area. He said, I always think it's really funny, the trade-off we make on daylight savings. We got an extra hour of sleep last night, and it's going to be dark at 5 o'clock from now on. Wow, was that a good deal or what, you know? But he's making the point that I'm making here. You know, you make one easy, simple choice because it's convenient, and you live with the consequences of that forever. It's a bad deal. It's an ambush. Put the volume into perspective. Number two, there, live by your values. Who are you really? You say you're honest. Always. You say you support the underdog. That guy. You say you care about the homeless. That one. What are your values? There's a whole lot of talk about justice these days. We're all for justice. Who can argue against justice? But we must all act justly all the time. And that isn't just in the presence of the high and mighty, that's the presence of the little people too. Are you true to your word, even when things change? Psalm says, a godly man will swear to his own hurt. You shake your hand, you give your word, and the price of the product changes, you sell it at the price you agreed on. Will you do that? Really? If you could get more money another way? Do you respect other people? Are you a steward of what God has given you? The one thing you and I can control is our own choices. And here's where Pilate really failed. He gave up the power to choose to somebody else. And I'll just point it out. The very last phrase, he handed Jesus over to their will. He had the power to protect Jesus. Let me say it like this. Jesus may have died anyway, but it should have been over Pilate's dead body. I get that there's a mob. I get that they're mad. I get that they're loud. They may have taken him by force, but Pilate should have been the one blocking Jesus to say, this man is innocent. I find no fault in him. Put it in perspective. Touch base with your values. Live by principles. The devil's bargain is to choose the circumstance over the principle. Situational ethics. God's way is to live by principle, and he then changes your circumstances. It's tough in the situation. It can be unpopular. It can cost you. It can go against the flow. But in time, it transcends circumstances, and eventually it will change those circumstances. I'm going to sidetrack for one story. On my deployment to Dugway, Utah, all the officers went out to eat with our new commander. And the commander said, hey, you know, we've been locked down. No alcohol until tonight, but I'm going to let the guys drink. Would you be our designated driver? Isn't it fun being the chaplain? I don't drink. I said, yeah, I want to get home safe, and I want you to get home safe. And then he said this. He said, Gary, on our way home, I want to stop off at the strip club. And I said, no, sir, I won't be driving us to the strip club. Well, I'm a lieutenant colonel and you're a major. That's true, sir. So we had our meal and they had a good time. They were not singing or whatever as we drove home. I mean, we sometimes think people who consume alcohol are. But I was driving and we were safe and we had to stop for gas. And it had not come up again in the night. And he said, Chaplain, you turn right up here. Well, the way to our post was to the left. And I got in the van and I turned left and we went home. I can't believe you're not obeying your superior officer. I said, sir, if you guys want to go to the strip club, you can go without me. Amen. There was a little bit of grumbling in the back, and we pulled up, and it was real quiet. And the chaplain didn't have just a lot of pals that night. So my boss's boss comes to visit us, and in jest and in fun, yes, sir, this is our chaplain. He won't even take us to the strip club. And the bird colonel said, way to go, chaplain. And that one choice set the tone of ministry that whole deployment. Pressure. Loud voices, values, character. What do I stand for if I'm going to be the enabler to do what we know is, if you don't even think it's wrong, let's just say it's less than the best. Choose principles over circumstances. Terrible cost of Pilate's compromise. I close with this. It came from a memory of Charles Swindoll on the radio. There's a quote. And it isn't exactly the way he said it, but it's really his idea. He said, "It's up to us to turn down the volume of the world around us to hear the still, small voice of God's Spirit." So, hey, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know who's yelling at you. I don't know what temptations you're facing. Your stories are your stories, and I thank you for listening to mine. But I say them only to illustrate this point. Every day counts. Every choice you make matters. Every time you name the name of Christ and walk out into the world and you say, "I will tell the world I'm a Christian," they're going to check you on that. They're going to give you opportunity to mess up in incredible ways. But everyone matters, and it is God's still small voice of integrity, of in character, of living up to the values, of knowing and doing, being doers of the word and not hearers only. It is His Spirit that gives us the power to live a life that is one of honor, that is one of glory, that allows God to work through that witness in that circumstance to accomplish His will like nothing else will ever do. And I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Are you listening to His voice? Are you hearing Him say, "I want you to give your heart to me. I want you to tell the world you're a Christian. I want you to identify yourself as a believer in baptism. I want you to come and be a part of God's family in this church. I want you to be in that new Sunday school class that's helping people go out and live in the week. The real test isn't here. We're among friends. We're encouraging one another. We all got to go out those doors and make it happen." But that's what God is calling us to do. I don't want to fail that. You don't want to fail that. Are you turning down the volume so you can hear His still small voice? Lord, we love You today. And we want to be obedient to You. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters here today. I just ask, Lord, that whatever they face, Lord, they go into situations I will never, ever know. But I pray that You'd empower them. I pray that You would give them the courage to choose again, to start over if they need to, but mainly to come to Christ and to let the Holy Spirit speak to their heart in such a way that they know the right thing to do and they go out into the world and do it for Your honor and Your glory. Bless our time of invitation, and as we conclude our service today, we ask it all in Jesus' name.